In this world we're living in, there's a lot we need to hear about Jesus. So in John 19, verse 17, says the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull. In Aramaic, it's called Golgotha. And here they crucified him, with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Somebody say the middle. That's what I want to preach about, that man in the middle today. The Apostle Paul, Apostle John, paints a picture in this. A picture of Jesus' crucifixion. He takes us to the hillside of a place called Calvary or Golgotha, which is the place of the skull. And there are many people on that hillside at the foot of the crosses that day. There's angry soldiers there that have gathered. There are discouraged disciples hanging out. There are people from all kind of walks of life that are there. In fact, there were haters of Jesus, the lovers of Jesus, people who had followed him closely and some who had followed him from a distance. That day on that hillside, there was not just one cross, but it tells us there were three crosses that day. Let me for just a moment talk about the crosses on the outside, because we don't hear a lot of preaching and talk about the two crosses on the outside. According to the King James Version, they were malefactors, which is a word used to describe common criminals of that day. We're not given a lot of detail about what they had done. Their names are not given, where they were from. But the fact is, those two criminals on the outside of that man in the middle were much like you and me today. We don't want people to know much about our conditions. We don't want people to know about our past. We don't want them to hear about the problems that we're going through. Fact is, we were all born sinners. We were all born criminals, separated from God by this disease called sin. And while we may be quick to judge those two thieves on the outside, amen, as being worse than we were, we were all born to death. But how many is thankful to God today that we are here today only because of His mercy and because of His grace today? I believe that everybody who has lived and will live will have to make a decision about who that man in the middle was. These two criminals, these two thieves represent all of us, all who will ever live, all who've lived. And the decision all will have to make. And you see those two thieves, they had become close to Jesus in that moment. They could say, we stood by him. We hung beside him. But the way that they would treat him were two totally different decisions. Understand, church, everybody will have to make a decision about what you're going to do with the man in the middle of those crosses. And you can decide today, I'm going to continue to ignore him. I'll write him off. I'm going to say he never lived. He was never born of a virgin. I'll just agree with Hollywood's assessment of him. Some will even deny that he came. Some will decide he was just a good teacher or a good man. And some will make a decision. This book is just a fairy tale, but I want to tell you that everybody has got to deal with the man in the middle. It doesn't matter how much money you make and how much money you have in your bank accounts today. It doesn't matter how many people you have in your phone list that you know that are important that you can call on. It doesn't matter what kind of title you have at the end of your name or what kind of degrees you have hanging on your wall. The ground is level at the foot of the cross, and there is only one way. I said there's only one way. I say it again. There's only one way, praise God, and it's through the man in the middle, and his name is still Jesus today. If you believe that, give Jesus a shout of praise today. Hallelujah. Understand, one of those two thieves looked at Jesus, the man in the middle, and he said this. He said, if you're the Son of God. And doesn't that sound like our world today we live in? If you're the Son of God, if you're the Son of God, then why did I lose my job? If you're the Son of God, why did I get that bad report? If you're the Son of God, why did my loved one have to die? If you're the Son of God, he said, save yourself and save me also. That's how some people feel about the man in the middle. Their announcement and declaration about Jesus is not that he is Lord, but if he is the Son of God. Let me tell you something today, church. We better make up our mind who the man in the middle is to us. And I made up my mind many, many years ago that as for me and my house, we will serve the man in the middle. We will serve the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no question at the Maxwell household. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's not even up for discussion. That's the problem with this world today. They want to talk about it too much, and they want to reason it too much. They just need to understand this is the written word of God. It does not vary. You can't mark out what you don't like. You can't. It's still the word of God. It is the word of God. Come on, you better make up your mind who he is to you today. And as for me, I stand before you and I declare he is Lord today, and I will serve him. Is there anybody that feels that way? Is there anybody that's made up your mind that's who he is today? He's Jesus. Thief on one side said, if you are. But then the thief on the other side looked at him and he said, we deserve to die. But you, the man in the middle of us, the Son of the living God, you don't deserve this. Think about the importance of this very moment. Imagine in your mind just a moment, Jesus is hanging there bleeding. His skin has been ripped and torn by the beating of the Roman soldiers. They have placed that crown of thorns on his head. But this thief looks at the man in the middle, and Jesus' face at this time is swollen beyond recognition. But the thief still looks at him and calls him Lord. Lord. I just want to tell you that this thief has got to have a special place in the kingdom of God. And why do you say that, Pastor? Because when you can see Jesus in majesty and see him in glory and splendor with a crown and a robe and as a scepter in his hand and Lord, that's one place you can call him Lord. That's one thing. But when you see our Lord hanging on a cross, bleeding and hanging on a cross, and he doesn't have a robe, and he doesn't have a crown, and he doesn't have a scepter in his hand, but you can still call him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's a blessing for somebody who can testify and say, I've never seen him in a robe and a crown, but I know who he is. I know who he is. I'm sick in my body, and there doesn't look much like there's hope for me. I don't have enough money to pay my bills, and my spouse walked out on me and took the kids. I lost my job. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I still see you as Lord. I still see you as Lord. Come on, do you hear what I'm saying? There comes a point you're going to have to make up your mind who he is to you. Those two thieves represent all of us. And at some point, if you haven't yet, you're going to have to decide if he's the Son of God or not to you. Hallelujah. The thief on the right side said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus, before he died, looked over at the criminal and said, today. Somebody say today. Today. Can I tell you what a difference a day makes? You may have grown up your whole life a criminal, a thief, a liar, a cheater, living in sin, but one trip to Calvary and a confession of faith will pick you up out of the muck and the mire of sin, and your whole life can be turned around. What one day can make. What one day made for that one criminal. that was destined for hell. What a difference a day makes. And for somebody here, what a difference this day and this moment can make for you. It was one day God took you out of darkness and put you into his marvelous light. And how many is thankful for the day Jesus turned your life around? It didn't take him 6 steps and 3 steps. And it didn't it took one prayer, one calling on Jesus, a prayer of repentance. And he heard our cry and he saved us, praise God. Gave us a new life. We have the thief who doesn't believe, and we have the thief who calls him Lord, and everybody in this place is going to have to make that decision about who Jesus is. Is he real or not? Will you serve him or not? Will you accept his call or not? What are you going to do with that man in the middle, in between those two thieves? In fact, who is this man in the middle to you? Who is he? Let me tell you just a little bit. I don't have time today to tell you everything about him. And we never could, but let me tell you what I do know about this man in the middle, Jesus. He is not who Hollywood says he is. He's not even who some Republicans and Democrats say he is. He's certainly not who atheists say he is. And my goodness, he's not who some of these professors over the past few days are declaring he is. Oh, can I get an amen or an oh? He's not who these little social influencers on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok are saying about him today. Can I tell you who he is based on the written word of God? The first thing I want to tell you today is that Jesus Christ has a supernatural name. Amen. Mary, his mother, did not even get to pick his name. His earthly father, Joseph, didn't get to have a say in his name. For the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 1 that an angel came from heaven to a little town called Bethlehem and appeared before the virgin girl named Mary. And he said, "Hail Mary, thou art highly favored. And the Lord sent me to tell you, you're getting ready to have a son." And she said, "Hold on just a minute. That doesn't make any sense, seeing I don't know a man. How am I going to have a son?" The angel said, "Mary, the Holy Ghost is going to come on you and you're going to have a son." And watch this. He said, "And his name shall be called..." Someone come on, say it louder, stronger. "His name shall be called..." And he'll save the world from their sin. So Jesus is a supernatural name given to him by a supernatural God. That's why, can I preach right here? That's why I don't like to hear people joke about his name. I don't like people to use his name in vain. Come on, somebody. That's why I don't like it, because I read in my Bible right here, it says, "At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess." Yes, that he is Lord. My friend, there is coming a day when those that have mocked his name, those that have made fun of his name, those that have scoffed at his name, those that have put down his name, those that have said he is not real, there's coming a day when they're going to have to bend down on their knee and cry aloud from their own voice and lips that he is indeed the living Son of God. Come on, somebody, praise him if you believe it. I read in other scriptures where demons tremble at the name of Jesus. You can walk right up into the middle of a raging storm in your life or an attack from the enemy and speak the name of Jesus, and peace will come at the name of Jesus. Anybody know what I'm saying today? You're going to have to help me this morning. Come on. At the name of Jesus, cancer cells will dry up. At the name of Jesus, fever's got to go. Anybody as a parent ever laid your hand on your kid's forehead and said, "In the name of Jesus," and that fever departed? I've seen it. At the name of Jesus, fear will dispel. At the name of Jesus, demons have got to go. There's power in his name. In fact, in the book of Philippians, Paul said he has been given the name that is above all names. If you get cancer, I know a name above cancer. If you got diabetes, I know a name above diabetes. Oh, come on. If you got going through bankruptcy, I know a name higher. If you're going through divorce, I know a name higher. And it's not the name of Allah. It's not the name of Buddha. It's not the name of Muhammad. Oh, hallelujah. It is still the name of Jesus. Look at your neighbor. Help me preach and say there's still power in the name of Jesus. The man in the middle has a supernatural name, and it's Jesus. Who's this man in the middle? Not only did he have a supernatural name, he lived a supernatural life. Everywhere Jesus went, he put the devil out of business. Hallelujah. How many like to put the devil out of business? Man. Back in Jesus' time on this earth, you couldn't keep a funeral business in business. Everywhere he showed up, you know, I mean, we read in the Bible about a woman in Nain who had a young boy that had died prematurely. She had even paid for mourners to come cry for her and with her. And the Bible says while she was walking out of the city with that crowd of mourners, Jesus was coming into the city with a resurrection crew. Can I tell you, there are two crowds out there. And one who's part of the death crowd, funeral crowd, that's given up on life and everything. I don't want to be in that part. I don't want to be in that. If you're in that group today, I love you, but I'm not going to be in your group. I'm not going to be part of your group. I'm not going to be your groupie. I'm sorry. The group that I want to be a part of and known for is the resurrection crew. We got anybody want to be in a resurrection crew? We're going to start a new small group around here called Resurrection Crew. I'll lead it. Come on. I ain't afraid. But they showed up. Jesus is coming in with this resurrection crew, and the mother's coming out with the mourners. The mourners are saying, These are the folks that say you won't make it. Your best days are over. The Mount Holly Church is going to die. You've already been through the best years. It can't happen. Give up on that. No, you. I'm not even going to go there today. You don't want to hear what I think about all that. But the other crowd is the resurrection crowd. And they've come to... They've come professing he's come to give us life and life more abundantly, and God can still turn this thing around. It's not over. It's not too late. Come on. There's still hope. Somebody needs to switch from the mourning crowd to the resurrection crowd and quit your whining and woe is me. You need to be a part of the resurrection crowd. Because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead can bring life back into that very situation. So everywhere Jesus went, supernatural results took place. As the mom is crying, and she's leaving the city, Jesus is coming in, and he puts his hand, he touches the coffin where that little boy is at. And the boy is raised from death to life and begins to talk. I would have loved to have heard what he had to say. Wouldn't you? And immediately the funeral business went out of business right there on the spot. He healed the sick. Jesus raised the dead. He opened blinded eyes. He fed multitudes. He walked on water. And that's who that man in the middle is. Was and is still today. He has a supernatural name. He lived and he still lives a supernatural life. We don't talk too much about the two thieves on the outside, but we know something about the man in the middle. I want our worship team to come on. If you're getting baptized today, you can be dismissed to go prepare and meet us over here in just a few moments. Can I tell you that all throughout this Bible, this is my third and final point this morning, all throughout this Bible, we see and read examples of where Jesus stayed in the middle or the midst. In Mark chapter 6, the Bible says the disciples got in a boat. They went out on the lake and a storm blew in, and the Bible says they were in the middle of that lake. Out in the middle of the lake. Has anybody here today ever been in the middle of a storm? Can I tell you, my experience as a Christian has not always been one with ease, with no trouble, no trials. Myself, like many of you, we've had our share of storms blow in and out, finding ourselves caught right in the middle of these raging storms of life. Does anybody know what I'm talking about today? You ever been there? I want to tell you today that Jesus, in that moment, the disciples were in the middle of the storm. He was up in the mountain praying. While his disciples were in the middle of the lake, in the middle of the storm, the Bible says he came to them in the middle of that lake, and he brought them peace. They were in the middle of a raging storm, and he came to where they were in the middle and brought them peace. Peace. What are you saying today? I'm telling somebody here, the man in the middle, Jesus, is in the middle of your storm here with you right now. He's not a God somewhere sitting in the corner, twiddling his thumbs, wringing his hand, wondering what in the world am I going to do for this one? How am I going to help that one? What am I going to... He's already decided how this thing is going to end up. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you're not going to die in this storm. Tell somebody, come on, help me. You're not going to, it's not going to end this way in the middle. Jesus is in the middle of that divorce with you. Jesus is going to be in the middle of that operating room with you. Jesus is going to be in the middle of that courtroom with you. Jesus is with you in that midnight hour. Jesus is with you in the mess of that marriage. Jesus is in the middle of that bankruptcy. Never will I leave you, nor will I forsake you. He saw his disciples struggling. He saw them in the middle of a raging storm, and he went to where they're at. And I'm here to tell you, he's with somebody here today. You're not alone. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fire. That man in the middle, Jesus, showed up in the middle of that fire. They said, who is the fourth man? He's likened unto the Son of God. Anybody thankful? Jesus knows how to get right in the middle of it with you. He's not only in the middle of your storms, troubles and trials, but can I tell you, Jesus is in the middle of this service right now. He said in the book of Luke, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be in the midst, I'll be in the middle. Can I tell you, there's something, we've seen it today, we've already witnessed today, there's something special that happens when we come together with other believers. It won't happen when you're by yourself. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, say, you need me today. Then say, I need you today. See, we all go through storms and difficulties, and sometimes we need some others to help pick us up and love us and encourage us. And then when we come together in the name of that man in the middle, the name of Jesus, not this name or that name, not a Republican, not a Democrat, not a president, not a king, not a religion, not a denomination, not a university, but when we come together in his name, he said, I will be in the midst. I'll be in the center of it. I'll be in the middle. So I've just dropped by Mount Holly today to let somebody know Jesus is the man in the middle. What are you going to do with him today? Who is easy to you today. I told you who he is to me. He has a supernatural name. He lived a supernatural life. And he's in the middle of the storms. He's in the middle of this service right now. And if you need him, he's here.